Shalom Aleichem, a good Erev Shabbos. Mishnah Yomi is in chapter 3 of Eduyot, Mishnayot 8 and 9. We're moving on to Rabbi Tzadok now. Shlosha Devarim, Rabbi Tzadok Metame. There are three things Rabbi Tzadok ruled. They are Tame, meaning they can become ritually impure. Chachami Metar, the other sages disagreed and said they are not capable of receiving ritual impurity. First is Masmer Hashulchani, the nail of the money changer. So typically a nail is nailed into furniture or a house, and it's part of something larger, and the nail itself wouldn't be mekabel tuma, it wouldn't become impure unless the whole piece of furniture that it's in becomes impure. It wouldn't become impure by itself. But this money changer nail, they used it for their scales to weigh, you know, precious metals and the like. So it actually serves a function. It's more like a kli, according to Rabbi Tzadok, than a part that's needed to make a larger unit. Now, usually, the Mefarshim point out, usually a kli needs to have a receptacle, something that holds something. Like when we talked about the sling earlier in this chapter with Rabbi Dosa, the sling middle part actually holds something, according to the sages. So this nail doesn't hold anything, but even a metal kli that's flat and has no receptacle to hold something, if it has a function, it's still a kli. It's a legal utensil, even though it doesn't hold something else. So the sages are saying, well, it's not enough of a special use to qualify as a utensil and be able to accept tuma. The next case is the arun shel grosut, the chest for the bean grinders. They would grind beans into flour and store the flour in a very large chest, which typically wasn't moved. Now, the rule is a large wooden object like this, a big chest or a dresser, if it's not meant to be moved, if it's really immovable, fixed to the ground, it's not mekabel tuma. It does not become ritually impure. So here again, Rabbi Tzadok, we're going to see, says, well, sometimes it does get moved, even though typically it doesn't. And the sages are going to say, really, they practically never move that thing, doesn't count. The third one, masmer shel evan sha'ot, the nail used in the middle of the evan sha'ot. Evan sha'ot is the stone of hours. The stone of hours, that's a sundial. It was made on top of a stone. It had this nail in the middle for the dials that were used to align with the shadows of the sun and calculate the time. So again, it's a nail, which isn't really a kli independently, but Rabbi Tzadok says it's being used for a special important function, and it would be able to be kabbal tuma. So Mishnah concludes, Rabbi Tzadok metame in these cases, chachamim metaharin. Now let's go on to Mishnah 9. Arba devarim Rabban Gamliel metame. Again, there are four items that Rabban Gamliel says are mekabel tuma that count as kelim, and the sages disagree. We're going to see this mission in more detail in chapter 12 of Kelim in a little bit. So the first case where Rabban Gamliel says tame is kisui, the lid, tene, of a basket, shel matachot, made of metal, shel balei batim, of normal household owners. So Rabban Gamliel would argue, the Mefarshim say, that this is a sort of a rounded lid, so it could be a utensil to hold things. But the sages say a lid is typically not considered an independent kli because it's a lid. It's the lid to something else, so it becomes tame when the bottom part becomes impure, but not by itself. The second case is utzlui hamagradot. Now, this is like a scraper they would use in the bathhouse to like scrape off like the outside layer of skin and to like clean off, basically. And it had sort of a hook or a chain to attach it to the wall or the shower head or whatever it was they were doing in the ancient bathhouses. So it's kind of, again, like the nail that we just saw, or like a hook to hang it on something. So Rabban Gamliel would say it has a special shape which allows it to hold up the scraper in the bathhouse, so it's considered a significant utensil, and the sages disagree. Case 3, golmei. Now, golmei sounds like golem because it's the same word. A golem is something that's unformed, unfinished, not completely done, not completely human. That's the famous golem that the Maharal Meprag made to defend Am Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, Hashem has given us an IDF, a Zahal, to defend Am Yisrael also, and of course our tefillot and our mitzvah and our learning also defend Am Yisrael. So Baruch Hashem, we're all involved in this. Anyway, these are golmei, means unfinished clay matachot, metal utensils. So they've been made into the right shape, but metal, it has to be polished, it has to be engraved, it has to be like, you know, the final touches to make it the right kli. And the fourth case is v'tavla shel nechlaku l'shnayim, a tray that broke in half, and it looks like it broke in half exactly. We can't really tell which side is bigger than the other. So Rabban Gamliel says both halves could become tameh, because even though it kind of looks like they're identical, one of them must be larger than the other, even by a tiny amount that we can't readily assess. And whichever one's larger still is mekabel tuma, even though it's a broken piece of a kli. It's the majority of a broken kli still accepts ritual contamination. And since we don't know which one is actually lemaisa bigger, we would treat both of them as capable of accepting ritual impurity, according to Rabban Gamliel. Now, the Mishnah adds that in this last case, modim hachamim Rabban Gamliel. The other sages agree to Rabban Gamliel, betavla shenechlu l'shtayim, when a tray broke in two, and echad godol echad katan. And we can assess readily one piece is bigger than the other. Now, hagodol tameh, the bigger piece can become impure, v'katan tahor, but the smaller piece is considered a shard, and it does not accept impurity. It's like, it's not really usable. The bigger piece still has the identity of the original utensil, whereas the smaller piece does not. So they would agree in that case to Rabban Gamliel. Yishar kochachem, Shabbat shalom.